interesting parts of learning Megillas Esther is Megillas Esther is a very oblique sefer. Namely, there are a lot of nooks and crannies and a lot of hidden references, and that's why it's the only sefer in Tanakh we read twice. The Gemara says in Megillah, it's called hermeneutic reading, that you can only appreciate it on the second round. So you read it the first time at night, and according to some shittas kriyas lailah, there's only midrabanan. Oh, then when you read it in the day, you realize, oh, now I know why Piksan and Teresh is important. Now I know why the Gzera of Vachashosh is important. Generally, the only Megillah we obviously read things twice when we want to, but the only Megillah we're chayv to read twice. The only text we're chayv to read twice. But because it's so oblique, so Chazal, when they would teach Megillah Esther, they would quote a pasuk from somewhere in Tanakh to tweak out some of the hidden meanings in Megillah Esther. Just like you remember in the Haggadah, we quote those four pasukim in Se'olamad and Kisavo, and the Balagada says, oh, that pasuk in Shemos, can help me understand the pasuk in Kisavo. That pasuk in Bo, can help me understand the pasuk in Kisavo. So it's one of the ways, one of the tropes of Chazal, to quote pasukim in Tanakh to help understand a different text. So it's called the Psichos of Megillah Esther. And if you look at Megillah Yud Aleph, there's a summary of some of the Psichos. In the Medrash Rabbah, there's a more extensive listing of the Psichos. It's really fascinating to put yourself into Chazal's shoes. When Shmuel, when Rav, when Rabbi Yitzchak, when they taught the Megillah, which pasuk would they start? Psichos, Mitzvah, which pasuk would they start? It probably means not just that they start, like I begin my comments, but Pasach V'Yomer, as the Masal of Etzik used to say, they only had one Sefer, it's a Sefer Torah. And you weren't allowed to quote a Pasach Baal Peh, because Rav Shebachzab, Yitar Shalom, and Baal Peh. If you would actually open the Sefer Torah to the Pasach, Pasach V'Yomer, doesn't mean they would start their comments, they would actually open the Sefer Torah, find the location in the Sefer Torah or in Tanakh, which is also written as a Megillah, because it's the Torah Shebachzab, and they would read the Pasach. So, what are some of the psukim that Chazal would introduce Megillas Esther with? So probably one of them, the first one is Rav's. Rav would quote the psukim in the Tochacha. The Tochacha of Kisavo is a human form of the Tochacha. It's written with a human voice. The Tochacha in Chukasa is a Kadosh Baruch Hu's vantage point. So it's much more existential about walking around in the darkness and waiting for the morning, waiting for the night, and losing all me. By using Meshugam and Marianech, Asher Tereh, when I used to take the people to Poland, and most of you are going to Poland, I would read Kisavo on the bus to Auschwitz or on the bus to Maidana. Because you read these psukim, I don't want to say they're coming alive, because that's unfortunately dead people died, but you just feel the grisly horror, the horrific, horrific descriptions in the Tochacha when you're standing outside of these concentration camps. So Rav, when he started Megillas Esther, he would read this pasuk, Vayucha yachat tulim lecha mineged. Your life will be hanging in the balance. And what does he say? Me'es leis. It happened so quickly. Me'asaras ha-tabas. The second Achashverosh gave Haman the tabas within days. We don't really know the timeline, but within days, genocide was planned. Ufachanata laila ve'yomam. You'll be frightened day and night. B'shar shachisavim parchim. When all the letter carriers are running to deliver the messages. V'lo tamin b'chayecha. And then you won't realize, and you won't believe what happened. Lios asidim le'yom hazeh. That everyone was ready for that day. Now, it's not clear whether the genocide preparedness or the preparedness to defend themselves. What was Rav trying to capture by these psukim? So there seems to be two things Rav was trying to capture. Number one, the great fear. The fear was immense. The letters weren't even translated into Hebrew. I'll talk about this maybe on Wednesday. I think a lot about the Jews disembarking from Holland in concentration camps in Poland, listening to Ukrainian and German soldiers barking at them in the middle of the night after being on these cattle cars for 5-6 days without food and water, seeing people die. They didn't even understand the language. So these letters were written, and they're written in languages the Jews didn't read, Kichsavam v'chel shonam, but not in Hebrew. And there's just tremendous fear and terror and fright and pachad. So your life will be hanging. Pachadata yom v'layla, layla v'yom, v'lo tamin v'chayecha. But I think Rod's referring to something else. If you look at the timelines in Megillas Esther, it's hard to know when things happen. Like if you look at them carefully, right? But there's a lot of years crunched into what seems like a short amount of textual space. And if you look at them carefully, there's a gap between the party and the appointment of Esther, and there's probably a gap between the appointment of Esther and the promotion of Haman, but certainly it's hard to see this in the Megillah, because the Megillah presents it as it's one quick story. And once Haman is promoted, then things move very, very quickly. Haman decides on that day, it's in Nisan, he throws his lottery, and then within 3 days, the whole world changes twice. Haman launches a genocide, and the symbol of that hurriedness and that fast pace are the Achashtronim b'nei haramachim yasutu chlefim b'dvar ha-melech v'adasim t'abishanim. Everyone's running. There's a lot of running taking place. And the running, haratzim b'yad haramachim, everyone's running. And all the running indicates that things are happening very, very quickly. And you listen to Rav, that's what he's capturing. Your lives will be hanging in the balance. It just took 24 hours for Haman between the time that he was promoted to the time that he launched his genocide. The letter carriers are running. So the question is, why is it important for Rav to highlight the quick pace of Megillas Esther? Why is that so important? Rav was highlighting the pace. Why is the pace of Megillas Esther so hurried? And I think the answer is possibly is because Geula is in the air. Whenever Geula is in the air, then all of a sudden there's a lot of political turmoil, things move very quickly, generations start to collapse, not just because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so excited to redeem his people, but because Geula is an overlay onto history. There's a historical curve, historical trajectory, then there's the overlay on history called Geula. But you can only overlay Geula into history if history can have its final accounting. So things have to be accounted for. Wicked people have to be punished. People have to be rewarded. So Geula is a intrusion into history. It creates commotion in history. So history has to accelerate just to keep up its pace so that Geula can take account. So, for example, you see in Mitzrayim. How long did Paro's reign? Paro's reign typically their entire lives. They weren't elected. They served as Paro's their entire life. How many paros do you see in Sefer Shemos, in Parsha Shemos? Three. The first paro, Vayakam Melech Hadash Shaleh Das Yosef, and Vayamitz Melech Mitzrayim. So there are three paros. Again, we don't know the timelines of Sefer Parsha Shemos, but textually, in a very, very short amount of space, there are a lot of paros. Why? Because history is changing. Because Geula is happening. Because the Kodesh Baruch Hu is Chishev. Why is the language of the Chazal Chishev is Saketz? Not just that Hashem says, I'll cut off some of your years of slavery. But now that I'm cutting off your years of slavery and I'm redeeming you, now I've got to calculate this Ketz backwards into history. At which powers have to rise and fall. You can't just overlay Geula. It's like going back in time. You're shifting the time continuum. So everything's shifting in front of you. So by introducing Geula, the time historical continuum is shifting and Hashem has to account for that. I think that this is one of the signs that we're in a process of Geula. The tumult of the 20th century and the rise of communism and the fall of communism and the rise of Nazism and the fall of Nazism and the shifting seismic. And even in our generation, how many nation states have failed in the last 20 years? How many states have gone under? There used to be you had a state that lasted 50, 60, 70, 100. Now things are happening. There's a lot of quicksand. Things are happening very quickly because the Kodesh Baruch has been Mechashiv HaSakeitz. I think that's what Rav tried to pull out from this story, that this story of Purim happened in the 18 years between the first Geula and the second Geula. Am Yisrael had already returned to Eretz Yisrael. They'd already built the base on Mikdash, at least the foundations. It had been opposed and suspended because of local opposition to Jewish expansionism. And now, 18 years later, Ezra and Nehemiah return. Megillas Esther happened somewhere in the middle between those 18 years. And Am Yisrael is sniffing Geula. And as much as they are suffering the fate of Achashverosh and the Gzer of Haman, Kodesh Baruch Hu's message to them is not just that I'll protect you, but I need you to get back to Eretz Yisrael. I need you to once again jumpstart this Geula process. And when you see everything happening so quickly, that's one of the symbols that Geula, Kodesh Baruch Hu's medalag el harim mekapetz el gavos, because I'll talk about this image in Shir Shirim of this deer bounding over the mountains, things happen very quickly. Anyway, that's just one of the about 13 or 14 psichos that Chazal introduced. Maybe we'll talk about them also during this week. We won't have our normal format. We'll try to get ready for Purim and Parshas Zecha. Okay, that was Rav Sicha, the Pesukim in Parshas Kisavah.